So glad that you are here. Welcome, welcome to the next step on your spiritual journey. Whether you come here all the time or you're here for the first time, you should feel right at home. You are in your Father's house, and He's glad that you're here. We are continuing a series on living in the power of the Holy Spirit. Here's a promise, and we're claiming it. Jesus said in Acts chapter 1 and 8, you shall, not maybe, you shall receive power. When does that happen? When the Holy Spirit comes upon you. How many know the Holy Spirit is in the house? And He's ready to come upon you if you are hungry. Are you hungry? Are you thirsty? He's ready to come upon you. And here's how you can tell it's happening. The influence of your life, the witness of your life expands. Where you are, your Jerusalem, your Judea, where you're going, your Samaria, those surprising places you never thought you'd be at, but there you are, and to the uttermost parts of the earth. So we've been in a series going through doors, opening gateways to that zone of spiritual power. The first week we talked about surrender, that we say yes to God. What a great prayer. Yes, Lord. Let's just pray it as we just begin. Say, yes, Lord. You don't even know what you're saying yes to. But that's important. That's the end. Yes, Lord, whatever it is. Then last week we talked about compassion. Because the power comes not for me. The power comes for we. It's about community. It's about changing others' lives as you become a conduit. And today, we're talking about a very important doorway, a very important key. And it is the doorway and the key that we all need. Are you hungry? Are you thirsty? The doorway today is the doorway of desire. You got to want to get through this one.
I craft my ways from blazes and firestorms, absorb the failings of dead ends, surrender the floors I dance on. I am the spaces between applause, the roars of heavens running through heaven's halls. I breathe the forms of light and silence, stall the course of cosmic riots. I am the glory of the giants, Manasseh, Sagamatha, watching of the Asian plains, they yield my name, made famous through the cries of albatross flags, inflamed in Pacific fires. I am dressed in the spray of Nevada dunes, clothed in the shadow of Sahara caves. I am the light of lunar flames, fleshing the reins of Amazonia. I paint the trains of Atlantic quest, release dominion to desert Panthera. I authorize the remains of Aztec and Inca that bloom through the visions of mountain tribes. I ride the skylines, breathe the signs, ignite the paths of astronomy's eyes. I am the unheard, the heard, in the storm that burns on my words. I am the yearned for. I am the word. I emerge deciduous from the wetlands of your cries, rise through the moments you awake. I bring the dawns that shape the fevers from your remembrance. I am here. I am imminent. I am he who crosses the plains through which you strayed. Discover the parts of extinction seared. I dust away the dried remains of tears. Drain the lakes of your regrets. I wet the wells, till the soil, placate the toil, quell the rages, sew the broken pages with my belief in you. Bring the you you've never quite met. I am the desire that keeps your pillow wet. I am the heartbeat you seek when you chase after dreams. In the reaching, in the sighs, you are looking for me. In the body touching body, it is me you seek. In the groans and the longings, it is me you seek. In the yearning dream, in the need to be seen, in the love me, it is me you seek. In the breath drop wonders, gasping hunger, in the touch of a stranger that makes you feel younger. In the books and the fables, in the this is me labels, in the is this me, in the hear me, say my name, in the touch me, find me, need me, find me in the aching pain, in the love, the music, the beats, the taste, in the heat, in the need for embrace, in the color, the gaze, the meaning, the desire, in the flame of the voice, and the spirit of the fire. When you cry for more, my name, you weep. I am he who waits for you to reach. I reach for you and wait. When you lie half broken and awake, I am the watchman of your sleep. I wait and wait till the shakings cease. I am the truth they call release. When the darkness flares and starts to speak, I sculpt the shades of daybreak. It is me you seek.
So are you seeking? Are you hungry? Are you thirsty for all that God has for you? This, right after this service, we're going to be baptizing people in water. We're going to soak them. And if you haven't been baptized, don't wait one more day. People are going to go under the water. Why? Because they're going to surrender. We lay them down in the water. Then we raise them up because we're symbolizing new life, new potential, new power that's available. And we're talking today about desire. Here's a great scripture. It's in your study guide. 1 Corinthians 14 and 1 says, follow. And that is surrender. Jesus says, come, you say, yes, sir. Yes, Lord. Follow the way of love, and I love how it ties together. The gifts and the power of the Holy Spirit is for one purpose. It's for compassion. It's for love. And then he says, but you've got to be hungry. You've got to be thirsty. You've got to have desire, or all that's in this place is potential power. There's a promise of power, but you need to reach out and receive it. Those of you that know science knows I put my Bible up in the air. There's potential energy created. If I drop my Bible, that power, that energy is released. I'm not going to do it because it's my Bible. It would hit the floor. It would make a sound. It would release energy. So there's a promise of power. But for that power to be released, what do I have to do? If I want to release the potential power that's in this raised Bible, I have to let... Come on, somebody. I've got to let go. Jesus, as he teaches us about desirings, this spiritual power, says you've got to understand, you have natural desires that you understand really clearly. How many of you get hungry from time to time? Physically hungry. He says, well, it's like that spiritually. In Luke chapter 11, he says, if you have a hungry child, who asks for bread, you know how to give them good food. You know how to give them what they desire. You don't give them a rock. You don't give them a scorpion. You give them what they desire. And he says, I want you to know that's how your heavenly Father is. And then he says, well, how much more will the Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? Are you hungry? You need to desire the Spirit like you need food. How many of you get thirsty from time to time? Oh, just let's pretend when I'm talking, I am talking to you. Let's make a dialogue. It's a lot better. How many get thirsty? Sure you do. John chapter 7, Jesus is in the house of the Lord, and they're in the Feast of Tabernacles. During that feast, they bring a little cup of water into the house of the Lord every day, and Jesus watches that happen. And in the middle of the service, he stands up, and here's what he says in a good strong voice.
Is anyone thirsty?
Ooh, I love this crowd. This is the crowd, man. But if someone stood up in the middle of me and just yelled that out, you'd like, oh, look, and say, who is that? And then, oh, it's Jesus. He says, you need to come to me and I will satisfy the longing of your soul. But you've got to be thirsty. He wasn't just talking about water. It says in verse 39, he spoke these things concerning the Spirit. He was using a physical desire to say, that's how you have to feel about this spiritual power. You just don't let it sit up there as potential. You reach out and say, I want that. Could you just say that? I want that. Hunger for it, thirst for it. How many of you breathe regularly? Have you ever held your breath and just said, I wonder how long I can hold my breath until your lungs burned and you desired a breath? He says, that's how it is with the Spirit. He uses breath as a metaphor of the Spirit. In the Old Testament, it was called Ruach, the breath of God. It's the very breath that God breathed into humanity when he created humanity. He breathed in Ruach, the New Testament word, pneuma. Jesus uses that word in John chapter 3 when he talks about the wind of the Spirit, the breath of the Spirit. He's using physical things to say, that's how you need to feel about the power of the Spirit. And then this metaphor that we're celebrating today. Does anybody know who made this baptism stuff famous? He's got a name. His name is John. He was a baptizer. He soaked people with water. And one day Jesus came along while John was baptizing, and John introduces Jesus. And he introduces him with his two most important ministries. Watch this. He says, as Jesus comes along the bank of the Jordan, he says, behold, look at him, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. That's an important thing that Jesus does. He takes away the sins of the world. How many of you are in the world? How many of you have sins? You need that. We need Jesus to take away our sin and our shame. He then says, he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit. So he introduces him as Lamb of God, and he introduces him as baptizer of the Holy Spirit. And we have to desire both of those things in our lives to receive them. We have to desire to receive forgiveness of our sin and our shames. And I am so glad to stand before you today and say, he has taken away all my shame. How about you? But I also am keenly aware that in this world that I live in, how about you, this world that I'm in, I need his spiritual power. And I'm hungry. And I'm thirsty. So John the Baptist says, I baptize you in water. He's going to come and baptize you with the Spirit. And then Jesus picks up that theme in Acts chapter 1, the same metaphor. And Jesus says in Acts chapter 1, as they gathered together, and he said, I want you to wait in Jerusalem. And they did wait in Jerusalem for how many days? Not 14, not 15. 10. Yes, that's good. Last 2 weeks we've talked about that. 10 days they waited. And they were waiting for the promise of the Father, which Jesus had also given. What was the promise? The promise was that they would receive power. How many of you need power? And he says, I promise you I'm going to give it to you. So they waited for 10 days. And then he said, after 10 days, here's what's going to happen. John the Baptist baptized you in water. He soaked you in water. He immersed you. He infused you with water like a tea bag going into a cup of tea. He soaked you. And I'm going to do the same thing with the Holy Spirit. I'm going to use that metaphor of being totally saturated with the Spirit of God, and that's the moment that the power of God becomes a reality. When we say, thank you, God, you're always with us. Thank you, God, you are in us. But right now, in this moment, I need you to come upon me and soak me. He would like to soak every single person in this room today. You're like, me? Yes, you. And some of you get nervous when I say that. Say, well, maybe you'll do something weird. Maybe. But the key is surrender. I will tell you this, it will be good. Whatever he does when he comes upon you in his power is going to be good. It's going to be whole, and it's going to bring healing, and it's going to bring joy, because that's what he does. There are five times in the book of Acts that we have case studies of this baptism of the Holy Spirit. Acts chapter 2, Acts chapter 8, Acts chapter 9, Acts chapter 10, and Acts chapter 19. Acts chapter 2, we know that they went and they waited in Jerusalem for 10 days. And after 10 days, the power of the Holy Spirit came into that room. There was the sound of a mighty rushing wind. There appeared like fire in the room. And they spoke in spiritual languages, the Greek word glossolalia. They spoke in languages they didn't know. Acts chapter 8, there is a revival. There is a real turning to God in a place called Samaria. So they send Peter and John to Samaria. And when Peter and John get there, they want them to experience, they want them to be hungry for the power of the Spirit. Because in that day, they needed the power of the Spirit to change their culture. And in this day, we need the power of the Spirit to change our culture. So they talked to them about Jesus. They laid hands on them. They said, you guys need to desire and be filled with the Holy Spirit. They laid hands on them, and they were filled with the Holy Spirit. And there was a man named Simon who was there. And he said, I would like to be able to do what you're doing. I'd like to have that power. How much does it cost for me to buy it? And they said, you can't buy it. You're a bitter man. But something Simon observed, we don't know what it was for sure, but he observed something that when they laid hands on the people, something happened physically. We don't know exactly what. Maybe what happened in Acts chapter 2. Because if it was just like, you got it, you got it, you got it, you got it, you wouldn't pay anything for that. That'd be easy to do. Something happened in Acts 8 that was observable. Acts chapter 9, there's a guy named Saul that is converted to Paul by the power of the Spirit. He's on his way to Damascus to do what? He's there to persecute Christians. He's on his way, and Jesus knocks him off his high horse or his donkey. And he's on the ground, and he can't see, and he said, what's going on? And the voice comes back, it's Jesus. Oh, anybody but Jesus. I'm the one you're persecuting. I want you to go in, and I want you to wait in a room, and a guy named Ananias comes to that room, and he says, Brother Saul, I'm here that you will receive your sight back, and he goes, thank God, and that you would be filled with the Holy Spirit. Because for Saul to be changed to Paul, he needed the power of the Holy Spirit. For you to become the person that God is calling you to be, you need the power of the Holy Spirit. He is calling you to become more than you are right now. As much as you have experienced to this point, let me tell you, there is more. And so Paul receives his sight. The Bible says that he was filled with the Holy Spirit and was baptized. He didn't wait. I'm just saying that for somebody right here. You're sitting in this service. He didn't wait. We're baptizing in a few minutes. Just go outside. We'll put you in. Got some clothes we can put on you and a couple of paper towels. You'll be fine. So he was baptized. Now, we know he was baptized in water, and we know at some point in his life he was baptized with the Holy Spirit. We know he prayed in spiritual language a lot. In fact, when he writes to his friends in the church at Corinth, he says, hey, you guys that pray in spiritual language, you guys that speak in tongues, I do it more than all of you. So we know that Paul exercised this. We know in Acts chapter 10, it's a very interesting study because it's the first non-Jewish people to receive the power of the Spirit. There, did anybody know what they are? They are Italian Where are the Italians today? Where are you? Where are you? That's he loved. They're in Cornelius's house. Peter is talking. He's in the middle of his talk. He's in the middle of his lesson. And the power of the Holy Spirit comes into the room. Why? Because the people were so hungry. They wouldn't wait. You're all so decent and you're all so orderly. You're all waiting patiently. They didn't wait. And they were filled with the Holy Spirit. And they were baptized, overwhelmed, infused with the Holy Spirit. And when Peter was asked about it, because he got hauled on the carpet about this, and they said, Peter, these people weren't Jews, and they received the Holy Spirit. He said, wasn't my fault. I was in the middle of teaching. Spirit of God came, baptized them, just like he did in the book of Acts chapter 2. It was the same model, and they spoke in spiritual language, which is a mystical experience, a spiritual experience. And we're a little bit, because we're North Americans, a little bit about that, I don't know. But it happened. Acts chapter 19, it happens again. Paul now goes to Ephesus. He asks them, as he comes into Ephesus, did you people receive the Holy Spirit since you believed? And I would ask you the same question. If you've received Jesus as the Lamb of God, thank God, but have you received Jesus as the baptizer with the Holy Spirit? Have you guys, he says in Ephesus, have you received the Holy Spirit? They said, what are you talking about? And he asked them, what kind of baptism do you guys got? And they said, we got the John baptism. You know John the baptizer? That's the one we got. And he says, man, that's great. That was a baptism of repentance to cause you to turn away from your sins. But there's a baptism of Jesus so you can have new life. Do you want that? They said, yes, sign us up. And they got baptized that day. They didn't wait. They had some paper towels and they were okay. Well, we have real towels, actually, so don't worry. And Paul laid hands on them, and they were baptized with the Holy Spirit. They had the power of the Holy Spirit, and what did they do? They spoke in spiritual language, and they prophesied. Now, why does God use spiritual language with the release of that power, and have you ever desired that? Why spiritual language? Well, basically because it's spiritual. We love physical. We do. We are most comfortable in physical. You generally spend most of your life in a physical body, sitting in physical places, doing physical things. Even while you're talking to me, there's a physical transaction that's taking place. Your mind is listening to me. Your mind is sorting things out. Your mind says, I like that. I don't like that. That was funny. That wasn't funny. He was better last week. I don't know what you're thinking. I don't know what's going on there, but something. And your mind, here's how it's working. Your mind is actually speaking to the deepest part of you, which is your spirit. Now, in this spirit baptism, this overwhelming of the spirit overwhelms the mind. And the spirit, the mind usually speaks to the spirit. That's what's happening mostly right now. But in this moment, the spirit speaks to the mind and says some words and some syllables, and the mind says, I don't know what that is. I don't want to say that. I don't understand that. I want to be in charge. And the spirit says, no, I want to be in charge. And the mind says, no, I want to be in charge. And the spirit says, no, I want to be in charge. And the key is, who do you let be in charge? It's a matter of surrender. It's spiritual. And why language? Because James 3 tells us that the tongue is the most unruly member of our body. Yeah, thank you for those amens. Those are people that know that they know. That's noise. Have you ever said something that says, I shouldn't have said that? Because the tongue is like unruly. And so God takes this unruly member and says, I would like to rule that member. And as you surrender that member, power in the kingdom grows. So he uses language. He uses language because language is the basis of fellowship and community and communication. You may know I have a couple of grandkids. They're beautiful. One is three, one is one. Paxton is three. He's been on this planet for 3 years and a little bit. And as he grows, his language skills are getting better. He talks in sentences. His younger sister, Ellie, still working things out. She's a year old. She's got some words. The most precious word in the English language, Papa. She's got that one down. But as she grows, what happens? Our fellowship gets deeper because we are speaking at a deeper level, right? I have adult children. And we speak at a deeper level now than we used to when they were like in the crib. Because language skills are there. And if we take the language skills of this room, and you may be a multilingual person, you may be a polyglot, you may know a lot of languages, you may be a very, very intelligent person. The highest IQ in this room, the highest IQ in this room is a drop in the ocean compared to the intellect of God. You got to get that. That will help you if you get that straight. The highest IQ in this room is a drop in the ocean compared to God. So how can you have deep fellowship with God when your soul cannot speak that? It's like baby, even English, French, Spanish, Portuguese. There are some times in my life I need to have spiritual language. Sometimes when I'm praising God and I'm talking to God and I'm loving God and God is so awesome, I can't express my soul to God. And if you've never come to that place in worship and in praise, you need to ask God for a greater revelation of who he is, because you need to see that he's better than you think he is. But when you start expressing, you go, he's so awesome. I can't express my soul to him. He gives me a language in my spirit that I can transcend my mind and I can have deep fellowship with God. So he uses language, so he helps me. In my prayer life, there are times I don't know how to pray. Like, I pastor a lot of people. Some of them are very young, some of them are very old. When you start hitting 100, that's a good life. And sometimes, and I hope you make it. No amens, I don't know, no takers on that, but I don't care. But when you get to be 100 and something happens, maybe a little sickness, I'm your pastor, how do I pray? You're 100. That's a good life, right? And heaven is not a bad place. I'm pro-heaven. I really wouldn't want to rip you off. If it's your time, I don't know. So maybe you got, I have a friend that went to 105 years old, vital life, lived on her own. I don't want to rip you off of 5 years. I don't know how to pray. Do I pray that God heals you or takes you to heaven? So I pray in the Spirit. I'm praying the perfect will of God. We're sitting on property that we couldn't afford and we didn't have money for. So what we would do is walk through the trees and pray in spiritual language because we didn't know how it was all going to work. But we had the vision in our heart and the language of our spirit. And we prayed. And I think everyone needs that help in their lives. So let me just, a few things that will help you if you have this desire, which I am exhorting you towards. Because this is mystical. I know it is mystical. And we're North America, and we like to be able to touch it and taste it and see it and have scientific method. And then all of a sudden, the Spirit is speaking mystical symbols to our mind, and it's hard. I get that. But here's a few things that help people, and I'll give you some things that have helped me and helped me to help others. One is to understand that God is not into puppetry, but he is into partnership. God is not into puppetry. Some people, when they get this, they say, oh, here's spiritual language. It's in the Bible. I'm ready for that dimension of my spiritual life. Okay, Lord, I'm ready. Hit me. And they almost feel like God's going to grab their tongue, breathe for them. God doesn't do that. Here's what the Bible says. The Bible says that they spoke as the Spirit gave utterance. The Spirit speaks to the mind. The mind says, that doesn't make sense to me. But I'm going to say it anyway. It's partnership. It's not puppetry. It's childlike. We're mostly an adult audience, right? Do you not know? Mostly an adult audience, right? A mature audience. And that has benefits, but it also has this growing doubt. The older we get, the more we say, I doubt that. I doubt it. It's why it's easier for young children, people who are childlike, to come to faith. Harder when you get older. And if you do, thank God, we're praying for you. But childlikeness, you read in the Bible, and everybody, there's not one exception. Everybody in the New Testament that experienced and moved in the power we're talking about, they all prayed in spiritual language. All of them, not one exception. Mary, the mother of Jesus, Paul, Peter, everybody. And so a child says, there it is, I would like that. And reaches out by faith. And you receive Jesus as baptizer with the Holy Spirit the same way you receive him as Lamb of God. When you received him as Lamb of God, you reached out by faith and said, I receive you as the one who takes away my sins. I receive by faith. And now I receive you as baptizer with the Holy Spirit, and I receive you by faith. Receive by faith. Ask for it. Don't be nebulous. Say, Lord, I want this. And when I say this, I don't pray for like spiritual language. I don't pray that. Here's what I pray, because Acts 1:8, here's the promise. I pray for power. I go, I need power. God, I need your power because I can't heal people, but you can, and I need your power. I can't bring people to life transformation, but you can. I need your power. The culture and world that we live in needs some transformational agents because we need power. Our culture needs power. Haven't you been watching the news? We need people of spiritual power, not for themselves, not for their agenda, but with compassion, not me, but we. And Lord, I need that. And so as I pray for power, I just say, I'm willing to surrender because I understand surrender is a doorway. I want to be filled with your love. I know that's important. And I am hungry for spiritual gifts, including this gift. I am hungry. I am thirsty for more. I like when in Luke 11, it's there in your study guide, when Jesus asks this question, how much more will the Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask? And I don't know the answer to that, but I know it's much more. As much as you have received in your journey, as much power as you have experienced, we're talking about the power of God. I would say the power that you have experienced is also a drop in the ocean compared to what is potential. So we need to have that hunger and that thirst that says, I am willing, I'm asking. Here's another thing from Luke 11. As Jesus teaches about the Holy Spirit, he uses three words. Maybe it's a scripture you know. Ask and it will be given to you. You know this one? Seek and you will find. Knock. That's all in that same passage. And aren't those levels of desire, aren't they? So if I ask you for $20, that's one level, right? If I come down there and start seeking for $20, that's another level, right? And if I start knocking for $20, that's another level, isn't it? It's the levels. So increased desire, increased availability. And then let me just encourage you to speak. It's hard for you to give your language to God in a supernatural language if you're not giving God your language you know. And some of you are hesitant to do that, even when we're here and I say, everybody say hallelujah, you go, I'm not saying that, that's manipulation. Or I say, that's all, praise the Lord, but I don't feel like it. So it's hard, if you're not giving God your natural languages that you know, you're not going to get the hyperspace unless you're in outer space. You got to like say, Lord, I love you. I praise you. Hallelujah. You're awesome. I'm asking for your. You got to talk to God, and then pause for a moment, and listen to your spirit. And if your spirit gives you a language, speak it out. And it's either going to be you or God. And if it's you, God won't kill you. I just say experiment. Try it. Like when your child is learning a language and they don't get things quite right, you don't go, No, you go, come on, baby, come on. That was so good. I don't know what you said, but come on. So when you pause and you have an experience of saying syllables, words, language you don't know, that may be known on the earth or may not. The Bible talks about the tongue, the language of humanity, the tongue of men. And the Bible talks about languages that are spiritual, completely spiritual, angel, angelic, that maybe nobody knows. But just pause and then just say, okay, am I experiencing a greater dimension of God's presence and God's power? And if you're not, that was just you. And it's okay. Try again. And if you sense the presence of God and the power of God, and all of a sudden new insights are forming and new wisdom is coming, and you have a new passion to walk to the talk, to go to where people are, then you know you've encountered the Spirit of God, and you know you've been empowered by the Spirit of God. And that's not just a once-in-a-lifetime thing. We're going to baptize people in water. If you've been baptized in water, great. But you can be baptized in the Holy Spirit over and 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 over. And Ephesians 5:18 says that. Keep on being filled with the Holy Spirit. How many of you have been breathing regularly while I've been talking? I don't know how many breaths, but that's the metaphor. The breath, the Spirit. And he says in 14 and 1 of Corinthians, 1 Corinthians, follow the way of love and have a desire. Because without the desire, it's just potential energy and it's a potential promise. With desire, it becomes actual. And those are the kind of people that are transforming the planet and the culture. And we just need more of them. Amen. Let's stand together for prayer. I'm going to invite our prayer team that's going to be praying in a moment to come immediately. I want us all to close our eyes. And the first thing I want to pray about is that every single person in this room would have an open heart and an acceptance of Jesus as the Lamb of God, the one who takes away all of our sin and all of our shame. We're going to pray a prayer together. I want you to pray it with all the people around you, and this prayer will welcome Jesus as the Savior into your life. It makes heaven your home and connects you to God. If you've drifted far away from Jesus, come on home right now in Jesus' name. Here's the prayer. Let's all pray it out loud and pray it together. Dear Heavenly Father, I come to you in Jesus' name, and I receive Jesus as my Lamb of God, the one who takes away my sins. I repent of my sins and I leave them behind. And I receive your grace, your love, your forgiveness, your mercy. Now help me to follow Jesus every day of my life. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Amen. That's a great prayer. Hallelujah. It's a great prayer. We do that by faith, and it's a transformational prayer because it connects you to the Spirit. Now, the same way we receive Jesus as Lamb of God, we desire and receive him as baptizer with the Holy Spirit, the one who soaks us in the Spirit. And then we're just going to have some prayer time. And there's people here to pray with you at the altar. You can pray. You can receive communion. You can just say, Lord, I'm asking for that power. I am hungry. I am thirsty for what you would do at a deep level of my life. So we're going to pray a prayer for Jesus as baptizer with the Holy Spirit. Now, if you ask Jesus into your heart as Lamb of God and you're coming back to God, we want to help you. You can come and talk to one of our prayer ministers, or you can text yes. If you're saying yes to God, you can text yes, maybe. It will come up to a number that may come up eventually. Text yes to this number, and we'll send you some material just to help you in your spiritual journey. But all of us, there it is. All right, great. All of us want you to experience the ongoing fullness of what Jesus does. So we're going to pray a prayer together to open our hearts to Jesus as the baptizer of the Holy Spirit. John said he would be. Jesus says, I am. And so we close our eyes and we say, Dear Lord, I receive Jesus as my baptizer with the Holy Spirit. I need your power. I need greater power. And I'm open to you, Lord. Do in me what I need. In Jesus' name, hallelujah, 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 amen. That's a good prayer as well. A beautiful invitation. So, nothing weird is going to, I'm just going to encourage you to seek God for that power. Now, we're praying today, and there will be prayer here at the altar. Also on Wednesday, we have an extended time of worship and prayer, first Wednesday. And we're going to be praying for people on Wednesday as well to be baptized with the Holy Spirit. And we want you to just experience that. Those who are staying to be baptized or get baptized, we'll see you out very shortly on the courtyard in a couple of minutes. But let's allow the Holy Spirit to do His work in our lives today. Let's receive communion and thank God He's the Lamb of God. And let's receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit and receive the faith and the power that He says He promises will give us. So the worship team is going to lead us. And let's just press in. Come forward, please, for prayer. Come forward for communion. Let the Lord do a fresh work in your heart. In Jesus' name, thanks be to God. Just come forward, would you? Let's come. You ready? I am dead.